Well, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 12 as we continue in this series, Hebrews chapter number 12. And last week we looked at a small phrase in verse number 13, and we're going to continue on, but let's back up to verse 11 and read down to verse 13. Hebrews chapter 12. Notice verse 11, the Bible says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Verse 12, "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." And so in this series, we've been looking at the subject of faith. Faith in the Lord. And the Bible says that when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the Lord calls us to live a life of faith. He calls us to live a life trusting in Him. And the moment that we are saved, we are put into a new life, a new school of faith. And that is the life that the Lord has called us to live. And as Christians, part of God's teaching, God's education, is this subject of chastening. This subject of chastening. And the Bible says in verse number 5, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord." And so the Lord is very plain with us this morning. He says, as Christians, as we live the Christian life, more often than not, we all forget about this important subject of chastening. That God will educate us and teach us the way He sees fit. And part of God's way to grow us, to teach us to live by faith, is to correct us. Now, we don't like that idea. We would rather believe that all blessings are from God and all trials are from the devil, but that's not true. That's not true at all. The Bible says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." And I often say, just like the parent who loves their children, that parent will correct their children. That parent will warn their children not to cross the road without them. And if they try and if they don't listen, then that parent will correct them before they cross the road. Is that right? Would you do that as a parent? Absolutely. Now, how much more will God step into our lives and correct us to keep us from danger, to keep us from destruction, to keep us from our own foolish choices? Now, as Christians, as we grow in the Lord will educate us more and more and more until we see Him come. And that's the school of faith we are in. Now, last week we saw a little bit about God's exercise program. Have a look at verse 12. The Bible says, "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down." Lift up the hands which hang down. So what does that mean? Well, we saw the fact that when we are discouraged, when we are not living by faith, this is a picture of how we live. Our hands hang down. You know, if you're ever tired, if you're ever exhausted and your hands hang down, that's the picture that God gives us. If we're not living by faith, our hands will hang down. And last week we saw that the Lord will correct us and strengthen us for the Christian life, for the life of faith He has called us to live. Now, this morning we're going to look at the second part in verse number 12, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12. Notice it says, "And the feeble knees." So lift up the hands which hang down, verse 12, "and the feeble knees." Now, what exactly does that mean? What is God saying here? The feeble knees, a feeble-kneed person. What kind of person is this? Well, have a look in Luke chapter 5 with me for a moment. We'll turn back to Hebrews 11. Thank you for turning there. Luke chapter number 5 and verse 18. This word feeble is an interesting word. It's found in chapter 5 and verse 18. Now, if you're just joining us, we haven't filled in any blanks yet. This is just a little introduction. Luke chapter 5 and verse 18. Notice there with me, the Bible tells us that in verse 18, "And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him." So here's the very well-known account of a group of friends bringing another friend to the Lord. And remember, they couldn't enter into the house because there were so many people in that house. The Lord was inside. They couldn't get to him. So remember what they decided to do? To climb up onto the roof. And they started ripping off the roofing in order to lower their friend down. And their friend couldn't enter in because he was paralyzed. He had the palsy. That's what the Bible tells us. And he couldn't walk. He couldn't move. Even from a young age, he was paralyzed. And that word palsy, interesting to note, is the same word used in Hebrews chapter 12 for the word feeble. The word palsy means paralyzed. The word feeble means to be lame, to be paralyzed. A person who is paralyzed refers to the fact that they cannot move their body properly. Is that correct? Someone who's paralyzed cannot move their legs properly, or perhaps their arms properly, and they don't work properly. Now, back in Hebrews chapter 12, now that we've looked at that interesting fact, what is God saying to you and I? Now, we ought to be thankful this morning that we could walk to church, that we could come in through these doors. And I dare say that you and I don't struggle with this physical affliction of being paralyzed. But remember, that's not what the Lord is speaking about. He's speaking about something spiritual. Remember, how does the Lord describe our Christian life in verse number 12? Hebrews 12 and verse 1. What athletic event does God use to describe the life that God has given us? The life of faith. A race, that's right. So God wants us to run the race, the Christian race, a life of faith, running with the Lord. But you and I can't effectively live by faith, run the race, if we have feeble knees. We're not able to do that. Spiritually, if our knees are feeble, they need to be strengthened. God will step in to help us to strengthen our legs. You see, the enemy and sin and the world have a way of locking our knees in place, if you will, so that we are no longer able to move forward. And when a Christian becomes paralyzed spiritually, if you will, we cannot run. We cannot run the race of faith. And the good news is, God doesn't give up on us. Amen? He intervenes. He steps in. In fact, he steps into our lives in ways that we may not want him to, but he does because he loves us. And God has an exercise program to loosen our legs. And it's called his chastening. His chastening to deal with you and I. Now, this morning we're going to quickly look at some verses in the Bible about this issue of feeble knees. Believe it or not, if you look up those words in the Bible, they are repeated a number of times. And as we look at how they're used, we understand what it means to have feeble knees and how God deals with us to strengthen our legs spiritually for this life of faith. Notice in your notes there, before I give you our first blank, you'll have to hold on to your seats for a moment. Job chapter 4, verses 3 and 6. Notice there in your notes, one lesson we'll learn is from the book of Job. Notice what the Bible says in verses 3 to 6. Eliphaz, Job's so-called friend, said this, "Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now it is come upon thee, and thou faintest. It toucheth thee, and thou art troubled. Is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and thy uprightness of thy ways?" Now, we know from the scriptures that Job was no ordinary believer, was he? No, he was the one man on earth that the Lord chose to lift up as an example to the devil himself to say, look at my servant Job. Look at his righteousness. And God allowed Satan to touch the life of Job only to a limit to show the devil how great Job's faith was. But even though Job was a believer, a mature believer in the Lord, he still had his struggles. One of his struggles were his friends. His friends tried to encourage him, but they didn't do a very good job at that at all. In Job chapter 4, Eliphaz, here in this chapter, in these verses we looked at, he tells Job, Job, look, you once strengthened the hands of others spiritually. You once strengthened their feeble knees, but now it has come upon you. Now your legs have been paralyzed. Why? Because of fear. Is this not thy fear? He says. Now you may think, well, he was just criticizing Job and it wasn't true. But Job in fact confirms that in the next few verses. Notice there in your notes, Job 3, 25 to 26. For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. You see, Job was now feeble-kneed. Once he strengthened the knees of others, but now he was paralyzed. He was weakened. What was it that brought along this feebleness of knees, if you will, spiritually? Well, your first blank in your notes there is the word fear. The Bible tells us that fear brings paralysis. The word is fear. Fear brings paralysis. You see, when you and I are afraid, we are unable to run the race of faith. Would you agree? When you and I are literally afraid, our knees become weak. Have you ever heard of that phrase before? Being weak at the knees, feeble-kneed. That's a description of what happens to us as a believer when we are living in fear. Now, Job was a mature Christian. Don't get me wrong. He was the best believer in the world in his day, was he not? But even he needed to learn to trust in the Lord. Not only was God lifting Job up as an example to the devil, but Job also was being disciplined by the Lord, chastened by the Lord. What does that mean? To be taught, to be educated, to be grown as a believer by the Lord. And through this, let me say, Job did well. Amen. Job triumphed. Job came out of this affliction, but his knees needed to be strengthened first. And what's the point? Well, it's fear. It's fear in your life and mine that cause us to be feeble-kneed. When we live in fear, we cannot live by faith. It's impossible. When we are afraid of the issues of life, God will deal with us. He will chasten us in those areas. So first of all, very simply, as we look at comparing Scripture with Scripture, fear. Fear brings feebleness, would you agree? Well, notice the next point, Roman numeral number 2, facing the fear. Facing the fear. And this is interesting. When we speak about the chastening of God, and perhaps there's an area of our Christian life that we are afraid of, that we are afraid to step out in faith in, or we are afraid to obey the Lord in, the Lord doesn't allow that to go away. And you might say, how is that good? Well, if you let it go away, then we would never grow. Would you agree? But God in His love allows us to come face to face with those trials so that we may learn to trust in Him. And one of those examples we can find in the book of Samuel 17. Notice there, your second blank is the word facing. Facing the fear, Roman numeral number 2. God strengthens our ability to overcome our fears. How? By having us face them. Now put your hand up if you enjoy that. No, we don't. We don't enjoy that. But God knows that it's best for us. And sometimes in the Christian life, we are so confused because we forget about this subject of chastening. We forget how God deals with us. And so we don't trust Him in as we should when He in fact brings those fears right to our doorstep in order for us to trust in Him in those very moments. Notice 1 Samuel 17, verse 24 says, "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man," who is that man? Goliath, "fled from him, and they were sore afraid." Now, he was a feeble-kneed nation. They had gone to battle to the Valley of Elah. The nation of Israel was on one side, the Philistines were on the other side, and they were about to do battle. And the Philistines sent down to the valley their greatest and most strong and fiercest warrior, Goliath, the son of Gath, and he was a giant, the Bible tells us. He was taller than any other man that the Israelites had ever seen. And the Bible tells us what was going on. They were sore afraid. They were afraid. They were afraid of Goliath. Now, I know that you're familiar with the story, David and Goliath. And, you know, when David got there, we know that he was ready straight away to face what the army feared. Whom the army feared. He was ready straight away. Now, how was David able to do that, which even King Saul, the tallest man in Israel, wasn't willing to do? Where did his courage come from? Why was he fearless in this situation? Why was he not feeble at the knee when he saw his brothers and then he saw the giant? And why was he not afraid like everyone else? Well, do you remember what David said to Saul about what God had done in the past in his life? Do you remember the fears that he faced in the past? Do you remember what David said about keeping the flock and some dangers that came in? What did he say? He said that once there was a lion and another time there was a bear. And God helped him to face those fears, and he did so by faith, and he defeated, by faith in God, the lion and the bear, so now he was ready to do battle with Goliath also. You see, if you and I don't face our fears with God, then we cannot grow in our faith. We cannot defeat those greater fears. Is that true? So what does God do in our lives to chasten us? Well, He has us face those fears. That's how He works. What a revelation. What a reality in your life and mine. So often we crumble. We collapse. We turn away from God at the very moment that He desires us to triumph in faith. Let me encourage you not to forget the subject of His chastening, how He works. His desire is not for you and I to fall, but to strengthen the knees which are feeble. We all have feeble knees in one area or another. Things that you and I fear, that we need to trust in God by faith. I was thinking the other day about some photos I've got on my computer. My parents went to Israel. They had the privilege of going on a trip to the land of Israel. And one of the sites that they visited was the Valley of Elah. You know, the valley itself that's in the Bible. And they had some fun slinging stones. And one interesting thing came up. You know, all of the tool group that they were in from their church, they all wanted to go down into the valley and pick up some of those smooth stones. And the tour guide said to them, "Don't bother doing that, because every year the government of Israel dumps stones from the coast into that valley just for the tourists to pick up." So they weren't authentic, and they weren't souvenirs at all. But they had some fun there slinging stones, and my dad took a photo of a little goat track, a little path that led down straight into the valley. And the Bible tells us when David was getting ready to face Goliath, he put 5-foot smooth stones into his little bag. But then it tells us, the Bible tells us, and let me read it to you, that David hasted and he didn't walk. He didn't hesitate. The Bible says he ran. He ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David literally ran. And I say that to say that's a picture of you and I running the race by faith. The only way that you and I can run is to allow God to unlock those feeble knees. Amen? We cannot run otherwise. If we are not living by faith and trusting in the living God, we will fall. We will stumble. But David ran. Can you imagine it? He ran towards Goliath. He ran by faith, trusting in the living God. And friends, that's what you and I need to do when we are gripped by fear. That's what you and I need to do. We need to trust in the Lord. We need to allow God to bring us into those situations in life. We need to allow Him to do what He wants and to trust in Him in those fears. God wants to show us that we are feeble, but He wants to show us how great He is. Friend, are you choosing to run the life of the Christian life by faith? Are you facing your fears with God, or are you running in the opposite direction? It's either one or the other. God will bring those fears to us. We don't have a choice in that matter. God will chasten us because He loves us. We don't have a choice in that matter. But the question is, will we run from Him, or will we run to Him? Will we trust in Him? Will we allow Him to give us victory? Now, for the sake of time, we won't go there. But the book of Ezekiel speaks of a phrase, knees as weak as water. That's another description of feeble knees in the Bible. Now remember, when Ezekiel was preaching to the nation of Israel, was it a time where God's people were trusting in Him? Yes or no? No, it wasn't. In fact, out of all the prophets, Ezekiel had the hardest time. You know, he lost his wife and God said to him, Ezekiel, keep preaching. Keep preaching. The Bible tells us that not one of God's people repented. They refused to repent. They refused to turn to the living God. And so what did God do? He chastened them. He chastened them and He called them to repentance, and they still refused to repent. They still refused to turn back to the Lord. And so Ezekiel speaks to the people and he says to them that God will make your knees as weak as water. What does that mean? You see, these are a people that resisted the chastening of God. They despised, as Hebrews chapter 12 tells us we can, they despised the chastening of God. They said, no, God, we don't want this and we don't want You. We don't want this in our lives. We don't want to turn back to You. And I say this to say that God is serious about His work in our lives. If we say no to Him, our knees will become not stronger, but weaker. Our knees will become weaker. They will become weak as water, and we will not be able to face the challenges of life. You see, it is possible to go the other way. And in Ezekiel's day, unfortunately, that's what happened. They refused the Lord, and so His chastening ended up in God's people being brought into Babylon, and many, 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 many years later, only then were they able to leave back to the land. You see, we need to face those fears, do we not? We need to allow God. We need to say yes to God when He brings His chastening hand into our lives. The Lord wants us to face our fears by faith. So what does it mean to have feeble knees? Well, it's because of fear. First point. Secondly, God wants us to face our fears. Lastly, God wants us to triumph over our fears. There in your notes, Roman numeral number 3, the triumph over fear. The triumph over fear. Now, the final example comes from the book of Isaiah. Notice Isaiah chapter 35, just two verses there. Why don't we read these verses together? They're in your notes, but you're welcome to look them up in your Bibles. Isaiah 35, verses 3 and 4. And let's begin on 2. 1, 2. Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Now remember, the Old Testament is full of passages about the future. And this is one of them, a prophetic passage. This has not literally come to pass yet. We know that the nation of Israel is back in the land, but as a nation, have they turned back to God yet? Yes or no? No, they haven't. Not yet. But the Bible tells us wonderfully one day they will turn back to the Lord. In fact, they will be converted as a people. They will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. And during the tribulation period, though they have put their faith in the Lord, they will undergo great persecution, extreme testings and trials, extreme persecution. And these verses are written to those believers who will exist in that day during the tribulation period. They will suffer great hardship, great persecution. And Isaiah is encouraging them to be strong. To be strong and trust the Lord. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Now, how would it be possible for these believers in a day that I don't think you and I will ever experience the same persecution ever that is coming upon God's people in the tribulation? You and I will never experience that. How is that possible that these believers would not be weak-kneed and would just fall apart one after another after getting saved because of the persecution? How is it possible? Well, notice what Isaiah says. Be strong, fear not. Why? For what reason? Behold, your God will come. The promises of God with vengeance. Even God with a recompense, He will come and save you. You see, during the tribulation, though many will lose their lives for the faith, the world, the devil, the Antichrist won't be able to destroy their souls. Their souls are safe with God. And no matter how bad things will get in that time, they have the wonderful promise that Jesus is coming again. That the King will come with vengeance and destroy their enemies, and the nation will be preserved. In fact, God will be glorified when He returns for His millennial reign on earth. You see, God knows how to keep His people. God knows how to protect His people. And the little thought here as we close this short lesson on being feeble-kneed. Brethren, we need to remember that the promises of God are given to us also. How can we be strengthened in our feebleness? Well, we need to trust in the Lord. Yes, but how? Trust in His promises. You see, no matter how bad things get in your life and mine, if we have truly been born again, if we are saved, if we are children of the living God, then we know that the best is yet to come. Amen? No matter how bad things get in our world or in our personal lives, we know that the future is bright for the child of God. In fact, we know that the finish line is not something we're running towards, it is running towards us. Not only are we running the life of faith, but Jesus Christ may come at any moment. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Any moment we may be caught up in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. The catching up of the believers, that can happen at any moment. That is the promise of God to us. We know He's coming. We know we can have faith. We know we can overcome those fears because He is coming. He works in our lives today, yes. But also, the hope that Israel has is the same hope we have. Christ is coming. Christ is coming. And so you and I have the promises of God to strengthen our feebleness. We have His Word. We have His presence in our lives. And the theme of this month is a fearless faith. That's what God has led us to for the month of August. A fearless faith. And we've had a good start this morning. You see, can you see this morning from the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 12, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. God doesn't want us to stay paralyzed, would you agree? He doesn't want us to be crippled in our life of faith. He doesn't want us to fall. He wants our knees to be strengthened. He wants to build up faith in your life and mine. So what will He do? Well, He'll show us in our lives that it's the things that we fear that cripple us. Secondly, He will allow us to face those fears with Him. And when you and I claim the promises of God, we will triumph. Fear, facing the fear, and triumphing with the Lord. See, that's his plan in his chastening work in your life and mine. Let me ask you this morning, what fears is God allowing you to face right now? It may be financial. It may be spiritual in the area of your witness. It may be a family issue. It may be a fear about the future regarding God's will for your life. It may be everything all together at once. But friends, God allows that in your life and mine. So like David of old, we may run forward by faith and experience God's victory. Friend, you might be like a believer in Ezekiel's day, living in disobedience to God and trying to run away. Friend, that doesn't work. It doesn't work to run from God. In fact, his chastening will only increase. Why? Because he loves us. Because he loves us. Friend, if we are disobedient, we need to repent and turn back to him. If we are living by faith and yet we still find ourselves fearful, then we need to also trust in him. And he will save us. Dealing with fear strengthens our legs to run the race. That's the lesson this morning. The feeble knees. Whatever the Lord has allowed into your life, let me encourage you not to despise it, not to resist it, but to say, Lord, strengthen thou my faith. Help thou mine unbelief. Help me, Lord, to trust in you and in a greater way so that I may run the race that is set before me.